Great to have your company on a Friday morning on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927. Don't forget Michael Falgate from around about 8:30 on Racing Pulse to give you a good leg up into the weekend's racing activities. If you missed the Friday form, straight to the website, rsn.net.au, or follow us on Twitter at RSN Breakfast, and you'll get Sammy Hyle and the Winter Specialist numbers for tomorrow at Flemington, and a look at a couple of key races up there at Doomben as well. Still to come on the program, Brent Harvey will join us after 7:30 later on this hour to go through the remaining activity in round 14 of the AFL. We've got 8 games still to go. Of course, Friday night footy in Sydney tonight with the Swans and the Essendon Football Club. Big news going around too. So right now, let's touch base with Glenn McFarlane from the Herald Sun.
The Breakfast Club is brought to you by TAB. Bet you'll love our $125,000 projected Big Six pool at Flemington tomorrow. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
And it's great to have Macca with us in the studio for digging. Well, double before you dig. He's always digging for info. This the essential first step in any excavation. I know he's an excavator extraordinaire, Glenn McFarlane. Good morning to you, Macca.
G'day, Half. Long time retired from the excavations. how you going, mate? G'day, boys. How you doing?
Good. We're going very well. Gee, there's plenty going on. Last night's footy's got us talking about this crazy year that continues to pop up amazing results. 17 has beaten 1 again for the second time in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it? That game almost single-handedly revives Thursday night footy. I was getting a bit worried with the way some of the games were going. And Luke Hodge, did he almost revive the sounds of the game for Channel 7? Because it was almost a concept that was dead and buried, but I think Hodgie actually revived it last night.
He lifted.
He was fantastic. Like, it was just great instructional stuff. I love the fact there were a couple of incidents where he had a crack at some of the players, but in a really instructive sort of way, including Tom Mitchell. I thought it was fantastic.
I'm keen to hear a bit of that. I didn't get access to that last night in the radio box, but I'm keen to find out what that means and how that sounded for the Hodgie, because as Jared Ruff had said before, or said last night, I reckon he put on a bit of a showmaker for the TV.
Well, he said that he's obviously heading towards the twilight of his career, and we know that, whether he plays on or not, but he did say that after the game that a few of his Colac mates wanted to know what actually happened out in the field, and he gave him a good lesson in that last night, I reckon.
Now, Macca, we teased before the racing segment about the worst decision this year.
Goal review.
I feared that was going to cost Hawthorn the game, yep. And Alistair Clarkson was going to blow all sorts of cylinders.
And he would have had fair right to.
That was an absolute ridiculous decision. Goal umpire got himself in a very weird position, and then it was clearly over the line. Jacobs then pushed it into the post.
Was it over the line, all the way past the paddock?
Yes.
That's the way it appeared, Half. On the vision that it was clearly when it was past the post.
It was a biased Adelaide decision.
Oh, biased. Biased decision.
No, Scotty, call it.
Slanderous accusation.
I just thought it was a horrible mistake.
Well, you're not supposed. This is a goal review. You've got 800 cameras. They rushed it and went...
That was the thing, is that...
It was extraordinary.
They seemed almost casual.
Yeah, it was like, go to the board.
I just waited... When they said vision pending on the screen, I just thought, this is going to be a goal. No question about that. And then how they line up the ball, and the ball's in the behind post, and I thought, this is not going to be good.
So. Yeah.
I must admit, the replay screen that we had at the time, I actually thought that all of the ball, the entire ball, hadn't passed the padding or the line of the padding, so I wasn't too surprised by that outcome.
It was horrendous, and that guy will be sacked.
Sacked. And hometown decision, Scott?
Oh, no doubt. No
hometown
doubt.
Video. Is that the first ever hometown video decision?
I think so.
Oh, you've got to have some history here and there, don't you?
I want to ask you, Macca, it was interesting during the week, Alistair Clarkson, he didn't necessarily concede that the season was over and that they couldn't play finals, but effectively he did. And,
genius.
And talked about, it's all about the next premiership, not necessarily about... Do you think that had a... Was there a message in that to the players subliminally? Was there anything in that, or am I reading too much into what he said?
No, you're not. When it's Alistair Clarkson, I don't think you can ever read too much into things. And it may have just opened the shackles a little bit for them to relax, and not necessarily relax in a bad way, but relax in a good way. And the way they went into planning that last night, that assault on Adelaide, it was an ambush. It wasn't a 10-goal ambush or anything like that. But make no mistake, that was an ambush. The way he set the team up and the way he knew Adelaide were going to play, and the way he knew Adelaide were not going to change the way they play. I reckon that was the most important thing.
And I reckon there was a almost hark back to the 2008 days where we had the cluster, Clarko's cluster. We're seeing from up high in the commentary box last night. It was really good with their white jumpers that you could see the structure they were trying to create around the ball and behind the ball. It was very similar to 2008's cluster. So there might have just been a back to the future type situation going on with the Hawks last night.
Yeah, I reckon there was. And I mean, you know, all the talk about, you know, Clarko, is it time for him to move on from Hawthorn? You know, we had Mark Williams talking about that. Jeff Kennett talks about it endlessly. Last night showed why, if you were involved at the Hawthorn Football Club, why you'd be saying to this guy, you are there for as long as you like, for as long as you can keep this group coming through. Because he just did a fantastic job. There were some great jobs on the field, but the job off the field was amazing.
Now, Macca, talk to me about Ryan Burton, who Bruce McAvaney is clearly
obsessed
with,
isn't he?
He's obsessed with.
And fair enough, actually. I mean, as half would know, only the good Hawthorn players wear number 5.
Greats, did you say?
Only the sorry, did I say good? I'll refrain from that, and I'll say only the greats play that. And they knew Hawthorn what they were doing at the end of the year in terms of giving Ryan Burton that jumper.
Is he out of contract?
No, not the end of this year, Scotty. End of next year, half. And this is what I wanted to talk to you, being one. There's only 20 men in history who have worn the number 5 jumper, so it's a very exclusive club. Certainly since the Peter Crimmins days. Hawthorn's now challenge is to lock this contract in sooner rather than later. He comes out at the end of the 2018 season.
Has Daniel reached out to Ryan? Has
Daniel, have you reached out?
Type
you...
activity?
Well, I will be now.
Because it is huge, half. Given the hometown connection there with Adelaide, they missed him. Both the Power and the Crows missed him. And one of Hawthorn's biggest tasks over the coming months would be to lock him in before we get to the end of the season for a long-term deal.
Well, he's priority number one, absolutely, for the future of the football club. There's two players, I reckon, that they couldn't afford to lose, and it's Ryan Burton and Cyril Rioli. And they're both at different ends of their careers. And Ryan Burton is the future of the Hawthorn Football Club. They can build a team around him. He is absolutely priority number one in my eyes.
What would you pay for him, half, if you were looking at, you know, what you would pay for him? They've got a heap of salary cap room, Hawthorn.
That's not get too carried away. He's played 16 games.
He's going to win the Rising Star.
No, he's not.
You don't think he'll win the Rising Star?
Are you still on Andrew McGrath?
No.
Who are you on?
Who are you on? You're Pep Pepper.
I'm Pep Pepper.
I agree. I
think Burton, to mine, is clearly ahead. Just purely, he's playing in a team that has struggled all year. And I don't think I've seen half. I don't think he's played a bad game.
No, well, not from what I've seen. I think he's a terrific young player. Pal Pepper's very good too, as is Andy McGrath and all the other young guns in the competition. But I think he's a much more consistent player than Sam Pepper.
I can't say it correctly now. That's the problem.
He's making a major difference in a midfield in a team that's contending.
Let's just remember,
in a very important position.
Marcus Bontempelli lost this award.
How did that happen?
So we shouldn't even talk about it.
Right, well, let's talk more contracts. One of the continuing discussions after last week's performance in the Gold Coast is Bryce Gibbs' future. Oh. We all know what happened last year, and seeing the Adelaide Crows last night, they could have used him. Macca, any chance that he'll end up back there?
Oh, there's still a chance. The Blues are really hopeful that they can talk him around into staying. He's a lot happier than he was towards the end of last year in terms of the home front. Obviously was very keen to go back. And it might be the decision that costs Adelaide any chance of winning the flag. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Because that's the exact thing that they're missing. A little bit of assistance, a little bit of class in the midfield.
They should have gone harder and made more happy to give up stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
It's cost them a premiership.
Oh, yeah, it's potentially it's cost them the chance to win a premiership because every other team's fallen over, aren't they? Really, other than GWS, I think all of the frailties of the contenders are on show, and we saw those frailties last night.
Does Bryce Gibbs look like a guy who he clearly is happy with life?
Yep.
So why? Yeah, you know, he looks like a guy in 3 months. Do I need to go to Adelaide? Do you know what I mean?
$1.30 going home.
Oh, yeah, really? I think he's more likely to go home than not.
$1.30.
I agree. I think he's more likely to go home than not. But the Blues are making as much ground as they can in trying to keep him because he's playing great footy. And $1.30.
Carlton can play finals within a couple of years.
Yeah, they're but I don't think it really is a football decision. So I think that.
But has it not settled off field? Or not?
Look, I don't know for certain, but I think that his preference would be to still get home.
So what does Adelaide have to give? Or is he?
Well, this is the thing.
Probably have to give up more now.
We're probably in the
more,
same position as where they were last year. There's still got to be a deal done. But my view is that he will still ask to go back to Adelaide at the end of the year. And what he's doing at the moment, he's a professional athlete, so he's got pride in his performance, and it's not that he has any dislike for Carlton. He just wants to go
home. Then Carlton can go the precedent. Oh, yeah, we'll do the same as last year. No, you're not going.
Probably.
Oh, okay, come back. No worries. Away we go.
Look, I wouldn't mind betting that if they got two first-round draft picks or a first-round draft pick and a good player that they might think about it. What's he got left, 2 years or 3 years?
I think it's two. I think it
two
is.
Two more.
So in that regard. But I think... Yeah, I agree. I think you'll probably end up going, but they are doing a lot of work half behind the scenes, Carlton, in terms of trying to retain him there.
Well, he's been fabulous. Last week was the best game he's ever played, as far as I'm concerned, for the Navy Blues, Bryce Gibbs. So he'll certainly be a discussion point for the rest of the season as to what his future might hold. The future on The Breakfast Club is going to be very, very bright because we've got plenty more to talk about with Glenn McFarlane.
You've joined The Breakfast Club.
Absolutely you have, and it's great to have your company on a Friday morning. Glenn McFarlane has joined us. He's digging for info in the world of footy in the AFL, and plenty going on too. Scotty Gullen in the studio, Adam White as well, and of course Brent Harvey not too far away on the Friday footy preview.
Now, Daniel, before we go on to the next topic, there has been some text message correspondence.
Oh, yes.
And just a suggestion that we're not so categoric about the goal review, that a lot of people are suggesting that it wasn't completely over the line.
Well, that's how I saw it initially.
No, what's this complete over the line?
Well, the
stuff?
Ball, the 100% of the ball must be past the line of the padding on the post. That's for it to be a goal. And from my vantage point, the replay that I saw, there was about a couple of millimetres, I reckon, still of the ball within that.
They
period.
Called it as hit the post, I believe. That was.
Well, what did you say? Worst decision ever, Scotty?
Ever.
I'm not sure if it can be worst decision ever.
I'm going with it. And Rowan Sawyers, no, he doesn't run it. Who runs it now?
Hayden Kennedy.
They'll be responding at 8:30.
They'll be getting some feedback from you. Right, eh? Well, it's nice to have the correspondents on the SMS. Keep them coming through anytime through the morning. 0416 90 50 52. Now, Macca, more disturbing news yesterday in terms of the health of and welfare of players when the Western Bulldogs announced that Travis Cloke is taking an indefinite leave from playing the game, still be training, with a mental health issue.
Yeah, Huff, it sort of caught us all a little bit by surprise. We know that he'd been struggling a bit for form, but it's not form-related. It's been something that's separate from his form. It has become one of the biggest issues in football, certainly off the field. And it's probably always been there, but I think now the players feel much more comfortable to actually put their hand up and say, I need some assistance and I need some time away. And I think that's what Travis will get, and the Bulldogs have committed to Travis and to his well-being. And also, as I understand, a number of his Collingwood teammates have been in support of him as well. So,
do you know whether it's football related?
Yeah, it's not believed to be football related at all, Whitey. That it's got nothing in terms of his form. You would think that no player has been under more pressure.
Or being
probably
an AFL footballer, probably more.
Well, I think that's got to be an element of everything in a sense, isn't it?
Is it anxiety to perform? Or are you saying it's got nothing to do with...
No, I wouldn't. It's got nothing to do with his current form. I'm sure the anxiety to deal with his form has been something that over a period of time. I remember last year when he was dropped a number of times from Collingwood, there was a lot of people around the club who said that he sort of played as if he was in a fog of fear. Now, I'm sure that may have something to do with it, but...
When does it become a point, Half, as the former player in this discussion, where the AFL has to seriously, or even maybe the AFLPA has to seriously look at what's going on here? You know, does there actually have to be a significant change in how these guys are trained, how much they are at the football club, to make sure this isn't a growing trend?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I don't think I have the answer for it, Whitey, but all I know is there has been a lot more discussion and research done into this aspect of players' lives in the last 10 years. And as Macca said, I think this has always been a bit of an issue, but now the players have the confidence to come out and not have a stigma attached to that message that they are struggling, and they're more than happy to make that public so they can get some help and hopefully fast-track some redemption, or sorry, not redemption, fast-track some treatment and get them back on the track and back in living a normal, happy life as quickly as possible. I think that's the difference now, but I would suggest that we stop trying to expand the game and play AFLX and maybe invest a little bit more money in this side of things, because that seems to be one of the glaring issues in AFL footy at the moment, is the well-being of the participants.
I think it was quite noticeable that they didn't use the word depression, which I think is good.
Yes.
Like, I like how they said he's got a mental health problem, which so it doesn't... Use of the word depression can divide everyone, and do you agree, Macca?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's been recent times, Scotty, that it is a mental health issue and they're dealing with it rather than depression. I think that's good.
Yeah.
We're learning. I think we're all learning about this. And I think that's the beauty of this. You think this filters down to lower levels of footy as well, but all levels of society, really, isn't it? And we're learning along the way.
I mean, we had Taylor Adams in here the other day, and he gave us a fascinating insight into what it's like to be an AFL player and the commitment. And he was kind of saying that, you know, he's trying to squeeze in some uni and trying to sample some things outside that football bubble. But now he's a leader of the football club. He's got more meetings. He's got more things to go to. And he's finding that hard to do anything outside football. And I don't know whether that has something to do with it, half about, you know, just having a better balance, and maybe they're asking too much of these players.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'd like to know the stats and the numbers of these type of situations in the NFL or the EPL or other big competitions around the world where they have enormous scrutiny on them.
Well, that's the other part of it, isn't it? Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind getting some correlation from those sort of numbers from those competitions to see if it's a unique issue for Australian rules football or it's one of those things that is happening left, right and centre around the continent.
But already, I think, after what Fasolo did, already I think everyone's seen what Travis, and it's just like, oh, you know, you feel for him. You don't think... Oh, what a week this.
Not at all.
You know what I mean?
There's been a shift.
Massive shift. And the thing about it is also, guys, is that, and Nathan Buckley's very strong on this as well, he believes that in most football clubs, there are probably 6 or 7 or maybe even 8 players purely on statistics that would be going through similar things. Not everyone puts their hand up. And I think it's great that now players are starting to put their hand up.
We might ask Boomer after 7:30, just as someone that's just out of the game, but also still working with some of the young kids at North Melbourne about that point.
Good point. Essendon look like they might be playing in India. We've been to China. Is India the next frontier, Macca? What's going on?
Kevin Sheedy's been on about India for a long time. He thinks it's the final frontier in football. Yeah, the Bombers are looking half, I'm not sure how seriously, but I mean, it's a good story from Mickey Warner. That,
well, it's a world exclusive.
It is a world exclusive. It's big in the Mumbai press as well. But the Bombers have been looking at playing a potential pre-season game against Adelaide in India. In Mumbai, of course. And it is an area and a market that the Bombers are looking at as being something that they can really develop over time.
They're tapping into the local Indian market.
They are, because that's an untapped market as we speak at the moment. Not to mention the extraordinarily big market overseas.
So does that mean, Half, that Adrian Dodoro looks at recruiting a leg spinner or a left-arm finger spinner in the draft just to go with a couple of spinner options if they were to play in Mumbai?
I think you might see that Virat Kohli will be drafted very soon.
Yeah, he's a Richmond supporter.
In an Israel Folau-type situation where that's a marketing recruitment and they'll get all the Indian population on board the Bombers. Speaking of the Bombers, it's a big injury we touched on earlier this morning, Macca, with Cale Hooker being out of tonight's clash against the Swans.
Yeah, with his finger injury, it's so disappointing, isn't it? Obviously looking forward to a big game tonight, and he just would have been that little bit of insurance, wouldn't he? Obviously playing forward, but that little bit of insurance to go back if Buddy carves them up, as we expect him to at stages.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier this morning, about the flexibility that he gives, even though they want to play him forward. But it's almost like Essendon and Melbourne both have got this great opportunity to win on the road, to consolidate themselves in the eight, but both clubs haven't got everything going their way from an injury point of view, with Watts at Melbourne and Nathan Jones at Melbourne as well.
Yeah, it's disappointing for the Demons, because you'd love to see them, you know.
If they had a full team.
Yeah, I think they'd
momentum.
Nearly beat the Eagles
over
there.
Oh, they'd beat them easily.
Watts, he just couldn't get through training yesterday, tried, put his hand up. No go, so going to be interesting to see. Big loss.
Right, yeah. So his teammate's a cultural icon, it seems. Tommy Buck.
Yeah, the mural.
How good's that?
What's going on there?
Scotty.
Overnight, Graffiti Lane or Hosiery Lane, then there's T-Bug with his trademark arms out. He's become
huge, hasn't he?
I'd love to play on him because, you're not allowed to hit people anymore.
You're not meant to? No, no.
Shouldn't do that, Scotty.
I think James Bartel let me off on a technicality. But he's that type of player, and when he's up, they're a better team. He's that Hayden Ballantyne type.
And you need a player like that. Most clubs need a player like that, and he's certainly fitting the bill at the moment.
Ballantyne back in for Fremantle too. Is he going to play? Is that locked in?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's completely locked in, but he is... they've been really keen to get him back, and they probably need somebody like him coming through, don't they? So,
where's Aaron Sanderlands for my super coach? No, what's happened to him?
Still not back.
No, turf not toe, good.
Turf who's not S. Good. Darcy?
Darcy. He's been named on the field half, so he will play.
He will play Ballantyne.
He will play, obviously.
So got, Darcy.
Yeah,
Xavier College. He's one of yours half.
Xavier, I'm not a Xavier boy.
Oh, you're one of those private schools somewhere.
No,
you're a parade, aren't you, half?
I'm a parade. I'm a Catholic
parade boy.
I don't know my private tier school competition, Daniel Hafford.
Third tier.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Hilt Sun Shield premiers back to back. Not important right now. Now, speaking of premierships, 1993 was a big one for the Bombers, and Derek Kickett was one of the big stories out of that because he played all season long, and then was left out for that very famous grand final for the Baby Bombers. And last night he was on the Friday front bar with Andy Maher and Sam Peng and Mick Molloy. And it doesn't seem that it's a relationship with Kevin Sheedy he'll ever want to do anything about. So he's happy to let it sit and fester and be a nasty relationship. Let's have a listen to Derek Kickett last night.
In all my footy career, I've never spoken to, after a Thursday night after a training session, in all my footy career, I've never spoken to, rang the team manager and said, am I in the footy team? That week of the grand final, I rang Danny Corcoran and I said, am I in the footy team? And he said, no.
Because you knew, or you had a feeling, I had a feeling that was going to happen.
That I was going to get dropped. And that's because Sheeds had some personal vendetta against me. And it wasn't about my injury or whatever my performance was. Mm. It was a personal vendetta because we had a few words about 3 or 4 weeks before the grand final.
Oh, I couldn't help but be sad about that when I heard Derek talking last night. I mean, this is an incident that happened 24 years ago, and we know things happen in the world of footy, and for him to still harbour that sort of anger towards the situation, it was really sad, boys, to hear that from Derek Kickett.
Yeah, it is, half, and it's lingered on for all these years, and Sheeds, I know, has tried several times to reach out and get the olive branch with Derek, and it's not been forthcoming.
And hadn't happened, and that he'd tried to get
it. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, the mixed messages. If you speak to Sheeds, he says, I tried to contact Derek. You speak to Derek, he goes the other way.
If that's true that Sheeds didn't tell him he was out of the grand final, it's pretty ordinary.
I think that is, there's an element of that is true, that he didn't get the message to him the way he should have, and he regrets it. Sheeds does regret that.
I was very sad last night.
What about digging?
His finals campaign wasn't very good that year for the Bombers. He had 8-2-5 in the qualifying semi and prelim. So not really surprised just on those alone that he got dropped for the grand final. Now, Macca, I know you're new to this, but you've been digging for info. You do it every week when you're here, which is the first time, but it's great. Text to dial before you dig. Visit 1100.com.au for all the info on this essential free service for anyone digging around buried pipes and cables. What have you been digging for us on The Breakfast Club?
Had the bobcat out. I have this morning. just a quick one on, for all you super coach players, be wary. Just be very wary. Sam Doherty, very sore. It's not leather poisoning from last week, but very sore. Is likely to play against the Tigers, but may not have the effectiveness that he usually does. Maybe the vice captain rather than the captain.
Right. Anything on the umpires? Because that's Steve-O's sort of forte.
Laney might be not in there. She might be resting in the secondary division.
Well, we know Scotty's got a great relationship with the umpires, particularly after this morning as well. So
Peter Schwab saw he run.
To go through the worst decision in the history of football. Macca, always great to chat, mate. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you soon.
Good on you guys. Thanks very much.